Hallo, Pinkies, guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Und hier wir haben a live Pink Wheelnuts Garage. And fresh off the boat from Deutschland with his new toy is the Faye Driver.
Ja, jawohl, jawohl. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. Hi, Laughing Buddha.
Hi. It's good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
I know. It seems like months. You've been off to the Great Canada yourself some time ago, and you've been hibernating a little bit from your own show, I think, because you've been busy.
It's been chaotic here at the Laughing Buddha's temple, but things are shaken up, and I'm hoping to record a little update this weekend. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, good. We will be looking forward to that. So I guess we better introduce the people who are joining us tonight on the Pink Wheelnuts podcast. Let's go to Eric Boo. Hello, Eric.
Well, greetings. It's nice to hear your voice. You know, I was trying to listen to your show the last go around, your recorded show, but trying to get details from your wedding, and I'm honest with you, you kept getting excited about some other aspect, which I was excited to, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
It was a good show.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. You mean on the car or on the wedding? You know what? It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Wise choice on both.
Oh, thank you very much. Also joining us from the other coast of near San Francisco, it is that Peter G. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Faye. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you this fine day?
I'm good. I hope you answer the question, though. Is your new husband allowed to drive your new car?
He can drive anything he wants after he proves himself with a 65-point inspection and driving test.
I see. Okay.
What's he inspecting?
He's the one on the rack getting inspected.
I just bought some new tools for my rack, actually, now that you mention it. Now, listen, we've had some dignified guests who have been here right inside the castle here at the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, and that is someone who's made it all the way across the pond in no less than 20 hours of a marathon trip. That is Scotty, the little Aussie battler. Hi, Scotty.
Hi, y'all.
How are you doing?
Good. I don't say g'day anymore because I've become American.
Oh, yes. Thank you for the y'all.
Yeah. That's what 5 kilos of hush puppies will do to you.
And evidently some really controversial ice lemonade too.
Have you recovered from your marathon trip?
I think I've recovered, but I've got a bit of a cold, so probably some germy kid coughed on me in the plane that I didn't notice.
Right. And I guess now it's Saturday for you, and you have to go back to work on Monday, do you?
Yes, that's right.
All right. How was the house when you got home?
It was okay, but the bathroom has not been cleaned since I left, so it's disgusting.
Ah, yes. So listen, folks, I also want to try to get onto the call with us, Kathy Bacon. So I'm going to try to go ahead and do that. Laughing Buddha, while I'm working that out, would you please tell us who's joined us tonight in the Pride 48 chat room?
Absolutely. Joining us tonight is Turnip Head. Hello, Turnip Head. We have Ant joining us. We have Betrothed Mark. I think that's Musing Mark.
also in the Canadas. We also have the executive producer, Brenda Boo. Drunk Moose is joining us. Thanks for joining us, Moose. And that you're drunk makes me very happy. And, of course, we have Gavin Calvin, which is, I'm assuming, from the Hello Waffles podcast out on the West Coast. Thanks for joining us. We have Kathy Bacon, RT Cruiser, that Peter G, and Tracy in Washington, and of course, Scotty, the American. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. And if you have any questions, you can post them in the chat room. If we have time, we'll get to them. Otherwise, I better grab some paper and pencil so I can write these down.
I just want to say hello to Calvin. I owe Calvin an email, I think, because he emailed me some time ago about my wedding cake and how dignified are we to have such royalty joining us as being Calvin from Hello Waffles.
Yes, so now, actually, he posted a picture of his new haircut on the Twitter this afternoon. Very dashing.
Oh, I think I follow Calvin. He's going to have to write in the chat room on Pride 48 what his Twitter name is so that I can join. So now, we have a new guest joining us here, and that is Kathy Bacon. Kathy Bacon, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, don't be. Hello. Oh, yay! You did it.
You did it, Kathy. Welcome. Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. We're honored to have you.
Thank you.
You don't have to say anything, Kathy. You can just sit there and be quiet. But I want you to know that I'm very pleased to have you on the show. I think this could possibly be a coup. Is this a coup, getting Kathy Bacon on your show?
Well, especially live.
Yeah.
I would think so. I don't think anyone in our little podcasting community has ever convinced Kathy Bacon to come on to a live show, at least not that I'm aware of.
Hmm. Well, I know I think she's been on that show with Daniel Brewer and Adam Burns. Is that right, Kathy?
No. Gavin's.
Oh, Gavin. Poking it with a stick. Okay.
Yeah.
He's with us tonight, too.
He's being rude to me.
Don't you worry about him. You just listen to me, okay?
That's all right. Just pay attention to us.
Right. Now, listen, everybody here, there's several guests on the show tonight who actually have brand new cars. And I'm going to start with Scotty, the little Aussie battler, because Scotty, this happened quite some time ago for you. You have a new family member in your family. Do you want to tell us what's going on for you?
I do. Well, seeing as unemployment is impending in September, I thought I better get a new car and a car loan now while they believe that I could pay it off. So I rushed out and bought a Peugeot 208.
So you have to describe this car because many of the North Americans won't even know what a Peugeot is. So if you can describe what kind of car, how many doors, that kind of a thing.
Isn't it French?
It is French. Oui, oui.
It looked very similar to like a Toyota Corolla or a Honda. Economy car, isn't it? Is it like a three-cylinder?
It is a three-cylinder. What's the engine? I can't remember. 1.2 liter or 1.3 liter. It's a five-door hatch. Apparently Americans hate hatchbacks, which is interesting. They don't sell in America.
Oh, no, but we've like had Ford Escorts. We've had Hondas, you know, that have been hatchbacks. They sell quite a lot. It's just maybe they just were unfamiliar with Peugeot.
Yeah, I don't think Peugeot is available in America.
You can get it on the West Coast over there by you, Peter. You can get it in some of the larger metropolitan areas, even in Chicago. Majority of America would go, Peugeot, what's Peugeot?
Yeah.
I think they'd say Peugeot.
Yeah. Peugeot.
Yeah, I normally Peugeots, until probably the last year or so, Peugeots have been very expensive because they're European, like Renault and Citroen. you know, they've always been in that sort of European class of car. And due to the Australian dollar having only kind of become strong in the last 2 years suddenly, the prices have dropped massively. So now you can get a ooh-la-dee-da French car for like 17,000, which is what my car costs.
Australian dollars.
Yeah.
And every review that I was reading on the Peugeot, Scotty, was saying that they kept talking about the styling and minimalist interior, not a whole lot of panels on there, you know, not a whole lot of creature comforts. And they were talking about the aerodynamics and things like that. But none of the reviews that I saw had any say on performance. So I'd ask, I mean, how does it handle? How does it perform?
Yeah, it goes well. I don't know. You know, it depends what you compare it to, I suppose. Compared to a Toyota Echo with the same size engine, this thing is like a Ferrari. But, you know, compared to a, say, if anyone's ever been in a Porsche 911, it's a little bit different. But it goes...
We'll
you know,
ask you
later
about the Porsche 911.
Okay, yeah. It's very very economical. I got very good mileage. It's got a nice big touchscreen in it. So in Australia, in Europe, there's about 5 or 6 different models, including diesel and, you know, a whole heap of different engines and whatever. But in Australia, there's only 3 models in the 5-door hatch. So, yes, it doesn't have a CD player. That is gone.
Does it have an audio input?
It has audio input plus, you know, Bluetooth for syncing your phone or whatever. And it has a nice big screen with information on it in the middle of the dash. I should have taken a dash photo. Oh, that would have been good.
So it's a 4-door. Is it a 4-door? I'm not even looking at the pictures.
Yeah, well... They normally say 5-door, but the 5th door is the hatch. So, yeah.
Right.
RT Cruises has posted. There's also a 3-door hatch model, which is the sportier model, and but it was a lot more expensive. So, yeah, it's good.
How are you going to use this car, Scotty? Is it mostly city-type driving, or what's your plan for it? Because you drive a scooter to work mostly too, don't you?
Yes. No, I won't be driving to work because there's no point. There's no parking, so I'll just be driving it here and there around the suburbs and the occasional trip up to see my parents 3.5 hours north of Brisbane. Yeah, it went very well. I drove up to Harvey Bay the week before I went to America, and it was really nice, and I drove the whole way without stopping and without feeling the need to, oh, I've got to get out of this car and stand up for 5 minutes. So it's very comfortable, has really comfortable seats and good ergonomics inside.
Good. Speaking of ergonomics, Scotty, I think the question on everyone's mind, at least mine, is what is the potential for Super Samoan sex? Oh, come on.
Oh.
Everybody wants to know. Is there
pink
room?
Walnut's garage is normally only G-rated, not R-rated.
What episodes have you been listening to?
I better pull this dildo out of my ass then.
Is that the new one that you bought last week, Faye?
I think I know someone who snuck
out of the shop before.
Yeah,
anyone could
speaking of sneaky dildos, yeah, people, I want to tell you, you should have seen the big black mambo that Scotty bought.
Don't even go there. We're talking about cars.
Right. Very good.
It's the wrong show. You have to go to Gavin's show for that.
You can't buy those in Australia. You have to travel with it around the world.
Well, he claims that a dildo in Australia is ridiculously expensive. That's why he's got 2 or 3 in his suitcase now.
That's right.
Well, I suppose if you're going for the Samoan size, you have to pay for just the sheer volume.
That's why his bag was overweight, right? It was a couple of kilograms too heavy.
Explain that to the
took all the batteries out. Yeah.
Well, let's move on. Lambaste Scotty here. Anyway, actually, Scotty, I just want to ask you, how was your trip home from whence you left Vancouver Airport? What was your
journey? Yeah, it was pretty good. There was a baby that squealed for about 50% of the flight, so that was a little bit annoying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was okay.
Good.
Not too bad.
I want to turn our attention to Kathy Bacon. Kathy Bacon, are you still there? You have to unmute yourself, dear.
Yes.
So, speaking of people who just bought new cars, it looks to me like you just bought a new car for your son. Is that true or not?
That is absolutely true.
Now, what kind of car did you buy for your what does your son have to do to deserve a new car?
He just has to breathe.
Wow. Nice. Are you taking adoptions, Kathy?
Yeah, can I be your son?
Actually, Hedem and Zed are on their way to the States to live with me.
Is that right?
They were the first ones to ask.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you.
You know we're neighbors almost practically, right?
You're in Minnesota?
Yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
What kind of car did you buy for your son, Kathy?
It is a Toyota Corolla.
A Corolla?
Corolla.
Isn't it very the most popular cars in America?
You know, all I know is it's a Toyota Corolla and it's silver.
Good for you. Do you know how many doors it has?
It has 4 in a trunk and a hood.
Oh, yeah, good. That's good. Is it an automatic or a standard?
Automatic.
How much do you love? Now, this is curious to me because you must love your son an awful lot to buy him a car. Did he graduate school or something? Or why does he have need of a Toyota Corolla?
But hold on. Now, Kathy, is it a brand new car or is it a used car?
Well, okay, this son's getting a used one because the oldest son, he got a brand new one and he didn't take very good care of it, had a few accidents the first year. So I'm actually just paying that one off. I'm paying that mistake off. And that was I know more about that one because I kind of copied him.
Right.
So that's completely within the realm of possibility. My folks helped me buy my first car. It was a used car. Of course, that was back many moons ago when, you know, dinosaurs still roamed the earth and used cars could be bought for $500. Mm-hmm.
Did you help pay for it?
I did. I had a job as a butcher, and I helped to pay for my car.
That's nice.
So, my first car was $400.
Yay.
Mine was $200.
I think mine was $200. Mine was a 1975 Ford Pinto.
Mine was a 76 Ford Granada. Yeah.
Laughing Buddha, what was your $200 car?
I think it was a 1969 Toyota Corona.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I would like to have a Corona about now.
I had a 1965 Pontiac Acadian.
Wow.
And RT Cruiser says his was $100, and Tracy says he had a Chevy El Camino, 1979, I think.
Madam Executive Producer, what was your first? No, she didn't. She's not talking. So she had a car.
Peter G., what was your first car?
Oh, 1972 Plymouth Duster.
Oh, beautiful car. Mm-hmm. How much did you pay for that?
I got it from my sister when she got a new car. I got the hand-me-down cars.
Oh, how sweet. That's nice.
RT says his was a 1969 Fiat 124 sedan.
Am I gone?
I haven't.
Nope. We hear you fine.
I think I'm gone.
Eric, we hear you just fine, Eric.
I'm sorry. Technical difficulties. Don't mind me. Okay. I heard Elizabeth Custer and then RT Cruiser. Bleh.
Don't let that producer press any of your buttons there.
She didn't touch anything. She didn't touch anything. Mm-hmm. She's being a lovely executive producer.
Well, congratulations, Kathy Bacon, to your son and to you for getting him such a nice car. You are absolutely the best mom in the world, I think.
Oh, thank you. He's just going to college, and right now he's driving a 97 Plymouth Breeze, and he would have taken it to college, but then I would have worried about him on the road, so now I don't have to.
So you're doing this under the excuse of being, you know, mom's peace of mind. Is that what I'm to understand?
Well, yes and no. You know, he's going to school like 260 miles from here. So it's kind of like if I send him down there with that car and something goes wrong with it, he has like no mechanical abilities. So rather than put myself in a position to have to fend for him or, you know, pay, you know, horrific repair costs that may not even be right because we're not close enough to just go check it out. Mm-hmm. This way he'll have it for a few years and then he'll pass it down to his sister. And then I did buy my oldest son a brand new car for graduation. And I said, I will buy you guys cars. And that will be my gift to you, but don't ever call me for money for your phone bill, your cable bill, your utilities. You know, and I think it's helping just to set them up because we are fortunate enough to be able to do it. And if I didn't, I don't know what else I would do.
Now, well, may I ask Kathy where what school he's going to?
He's going to Vermilion for nursing. And the other one is going to Rapid City to School of Mines for Industrial Engineering. So,
does this Corolla have a alarm system? Or
I think so.
Well, no, the reason why I ask is because you go to, you know, like in America, the top 10 most stolen vehicles. And Honda Civics and Toyota Corollas were for many years considered the top vehicles to be stolen. So if he has not invested it, I don't mean to put a scare in you, but, you know, make sure he locks his doors. And if he has any extra money investing in a security system, I think it would be to his benefit.
Well, and my other son who has he has a 2009 Subaru Legacy. And when I sent him the pictures of Garrett's, this is a 2010, so it is a used car. And when I sent him the pictures, he was like a little bit envious because Garrett will get better gas mileage. But anyway, I think it does have the alarm on it. I'll have to double check. But we were laughing because we said, how are you going to identify it when school starts? And there's like 10 other ones sitting in the parking lot. But
right. Well, isn't that why they're the most stolen? Because there's so many of them all over the place.
Yeah.
It is. But I contend that the ones that were stolen a lot were the 80s and 90s vintage. And the 2000s have better security system and are more difficult to steal in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. And what he needs to do is, what color is it, Kathy?
It's silver.
So you have to go to your nearest paint store and pick up a spray paint, blaze orange.
Right.
And on the side of it, what's his name?
Garrett.
Right. Spray paint Garrett on the side of the car. So when it gets stolen, he can just call the cops and say, it's the Corolla has Garrett on the side of it. And they'll be able to identify it rather quickly.
Perfect.
Just trying to help you out. I'll shut up.
That's what we have. That's the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Tips for everyone.
Tips and advice, all for free. You get what you pay for.
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, there's the car right there. There's the car sitting in front of my house.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, fantastic. Let's move on, people. I want to move on our agenda for the Pink Winuts Garage. We have a lot to get through tonight. I want to do a little bit of acknowledgement to some other shows and things in the podcast world, I just want to put a little shout out to Gay Country Wes, who is having, he's coming up to his 100th episode. And I believe it's going to be this weekend, with this weekend being the 20 and 21st of July. So if you hear this before the 20 or 21st of July, try to send a message over to Gay Country Wes at the what's the name of the show? The Gay Country Boy. It is not spelled C-U-N-T. Because he's coming up to a milestone episode there. And I think George in Atlanta is going to join him for his show. And so we're kind of looking forward to that. I also wanted to say that Peter G., we heard you on the Ramble Redhead show doing a very lovely interview. It was very nice to hear you talking about your life, Peter.
Thank you. We actually did that like, I don't know, a year and a half ago. So some of it, references are a little dated. But I'm glad that it finally got out there. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, good. That was really interesting to hear. Laughing Buddha, did you have something to say?
No, I was just sipping my Negroni.
Oh, yes, okay. Oh, yeah, we should do drinks, hey? Who's drinking what? Yeah. I'm going to start. I'm having a traditional martini, a gin and vodka martini with olives, all olives, tonight. What are you having, Laughing Buddha?
I've decided to start with the classic Negroni, which is equal parts Campari, gin, and sweet vermouth. And sitting on deck on the floor next to me is a gin and tonic ready to go.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, a man who plans. That Peter G., what are you having tonight?
Well, it's a little not quite drinking time yet for me. I have a big glass of iced tea.
How very pedestrian. Scotty, the little Aussie battler, you're in your breakfast mode. What have you got today?
I'm having a glass of water to try and undo all of the food I ate in America.
And Eric, what have you got on your menu?
I am choosing a Jimmy Buffett beer. It's called Land Shark out of St. Louis. It is the closest thing to a Corona without the skunk aftertaste. It's wonderful to try. So, because I haven't said Corona since Kathy had said she was hoping for a Corona.
So. Kathy, do you find that there's a skunky aftertaste in your Corona?
It's been so long. I couldn't tell you. I probably follow my Corona up with something bigger after I get done with that.
Are you having a beverage tonight?
I actually am not. I just popped out the Pilates, looked at the Facebook, responded that I was going to be there, asked Mark to not tell you. And then I got this nice invite.
Right.
So, no, I'm still downstairs. I'm still downstairs laying on the yoga mat.
If you, you know, Kathy, I don't want to keep you because I did kind of pop this on you. If you have to go, you're welcome to. Just go whenever you please, but I want you to know you're always welcome here on the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast on the Garage Show.
Well, absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
I will carry, I will listen.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to move along. I guess it sounds like Kathy Bacon's going to leave us. We are very blessed to have her on our show. So thanks for joining us, Kathy Bacon.
Bye, Kathy.
Bye, Kathy.
Bye.
Hi, Scotty, and I'm so glad you like us now.
I always liked you. I just couldn't eat all the delicious food from here. But Faye's going to start sending food over.
Perfect.
All right, so we have some.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Faye is totally against mailing food. Cross
the That's right.
Wait, no.
It's the story of rancid bacon all over again.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to say, I make a sugar cookie I could send his way to send to you, but hello.
I would just like to say
that crush.
I want to say that Scotty was such a charming guest that I couldn't possibly refuse his requests. So as long as it's not pulsating meat... I think I might be able to send some food to Australia. After all, he did
send
bring
pulsating
us.
Meat. Make sure it's black.
Get back on the dildo conversation.
He did, after all, introduce us to Vegemite, which is amazing. It's my most favorite thing.
Oh, God, that stuff is disgusting. It's like beer sludge. Hey. Do you even know what it is? It's like the remnants of beer that they cooked down. It's beyond vile.
Tonight we're having Vegemite pasta.
Oh, God.
Vegemite pasta, that's just wrong.
All right, let's move on, people. Let's move on with this show. All right, now, I hear some rumors. Peter G. has a question, and Eric Boo, you've been having some issues with your truck. I want to start with you, Eric. Do you want to discuss what's going on?
Actually, it's been resolved. I fixed it. So, if you'd like, I can give you the scenario and let you guys guess as to what the problem was.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's play that game.
It's pretty obvious, but Executive producer does need credit on this. The following story has been made possible by Brenda Boo and Brenda Boo Productions. So yesterday, Brenda took the truck to go swimming with her swim fins, and she did a job. You know what? Hush yourself. Anyway, she comes
water
back.
Water in the distributor cup. That's my guess. Water in the distributor cup.
She comes back and says, one, you're out of gas. But we're getting ready to tape Lotzel, so I didn't fill it up, so you're going to have to fill it up tomorrow. I said, gee, thank you. And then she said, well, by the way, your battery light came on. I said, oh, okay. So this morning I got up, and instead of going to the gym, I went out and started up. And sure enough, my volt meter was drastically low. It started without a problem. It was running. And I said, okay, well, it's been really hot here the last several days. I mean, for the last week, we're talking 95-degree days. So we've been running air conditioner in the truck quite a lot. I said, maybe it drained the battery because I'm not really getting it up to highway speed all that much. And I said, plus the previous owner had jerry-rigged my wiring on the car so that while it's not supposed to have daytime running lights, it does have daytime running lights.
I hate daytime running lights.
Yeah, well, yeah, beside the point. So I thought maybe there's a short. I said, okay, well, I'm going to take it out and get it up to highway speed and forego working out. And just so I went up to the interstate and ran up and down for like 15, 20 minutes. Got it home. It not only did not charge the battery, it actually drained more out of it. So I had a guess. What do you think it is?
All right. Well, let's see. Let's go around the room. Scotty, you made your guess. Do you want to stick with water in the distributor cap?
You can't take a car swimming, Brenda.
Okay. That, Peter G., do you have any idea what this could be?
No fucking clue whatsoever.
All right. Let's see. Who else is with us here? I guess it's me. Kathy, are you still here? No, I think she's left us. Okay. Okay, so let me get this straight.
Operator error?
No.
You were... did you have problems starting the car?
None whatsoever.
But you just started it, but you noticed the ammeter was down.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's just a bad battery.
Actually, no.
Can I guess?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm going to say a loose connection on one of the terminals.
Oh, good and one.
All of these are good guesses, but all of them are wrong. It was the alternator.
Huh. Oh,
I actually wrote that in the chat room.
Exactly. Yeah. The alternator wasn't completely dead, but it was on its way. Well, of course, if the alternator completely dies, then you can't start it. But it was – so it was weak. We had – thank goodness my good friend and A number one lesbian mechanic is also our across-the-street neighbor. And so I texted Abby and I said, I kind of gave her the symptom thinking, okay, tell me, please tell me it's the alternator in my head. And sure enough, she said, I think it's the alternator. So we pulled it over to her garage this afternoon and ripped it off the engine because the S10 makes it, it's laid out so well. The alternator is right up front, hooked up to the serpentine, you know, with the serpentine belt, but it's easy to remove. We took it to the parts shop. They strapped it on the tester and it was dead as a doornail. And you could hear it when they strapped it on the tester, how the brushes and everything, the bearings were just, they were ready to go. So quick split, you know, put the new alternator on. It took us a total of maybe a half an hour and the problem was completely fixed.
Terrific. So all good. Fantastic. Thank you. That's great. Good quiz that I failed. How rude. How embarrassing.
Well, it was, again, it was giving some of the symptoms that said alternator, but it wasn't giving all of the symptoms that it was alternator.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I guessed, but I guessed right.
Good for you. Okay, now, Peter G., you have a question for us. You wrote an email in. Do you want to tell us what's going on for you?
Yes, thank you. Well, near my house is about a mile-long hill. It's a 12% grade, so it's a rather steep hill. And as you're driving down it, it curves. So you can't even really just coast straight down it. There's also the Mormon Temple is there. There's the Greek Orthodox Church, the Cerebral Palsy Institute, the posh private school is there. So all means you have to slow down to about 25 miles an hour for all these school zones and pedestrian crosswalks and traffic lights and everything. When I go down this hill, I downshift my little Versa into low. But then that slows the car down too much, and I end up going like 12 miles an hour, and then there's some soccer mom and her SUV bearing down on me. So that I step on the gas while in low going down the hill. And my husband says that's the wrong thing to do. I have to shift back into drive and just coast, and then when the car starts going too fast, go back into low, back into drive, back into low, repeat this process over and over again. He says I shouldn't be using the gas while I'm in low. So I refer to you to solve this marital dilemma, Faye.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Faye, are you with us?
Faye?
Oh, no. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay, so I have one question for you before I hand this over to the panel. Peter G., do you have, on your transmission, do you have only a D and an L, or do you have a D and a 3 and an L?
No, I just have a D and an L.
Okay. So let's pass it around the room to see what the room thinks. Scotty, the little Aussie battler, any recommendations?
Usually in Australia, when we're going down a steep hill, we use the brakes.
Wrong. Okay, next. Eric, any any recommendations for Peter?
Eric's not here.
How did you get on this show?
I'm just telling you he's not here. Calm the heck down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, calm down.
Brenda, yes. you planned this, didn't you? What did you do? You put some Ipecac in his drink or something.
No. He's coming back. Here he is. My God. Good Lord.
Eric.
I apologize. I had to do the station boss stuff. I had an employee call, so I didn't take that call. Sorry.
All right. So it wasn't some plot by Brenda Boo to get on this show.
Oh, absolutely not. And I do apologize for stepping away. So.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So did you hear Peter G's question?
I did. I heard his scenario. I didn't hear any other input coming in. I do have my thoughts on the matter.
Yeah, please share.
My thought is your husband is right. The creeper gear is meant to be a creeper gear. It's not meant to really exceed too high on the RPMs. You could cause problems with it.
So let's ask this question, if I can interrupt you, Eric. Mm-hmm. Peter G., mm-hmm. do you have an RPM monitor, a revolution monitor in your car? A gauge, a rev gauge?
Probably, yes.
when you're doing this low procedure, low gear procedure, is the car spinning up? Is the engine running at a high rate of speed in order for you to descend the hill in a slow speed?
Yeah, with my foot gently on the gas. Yes, it is. It feels like it's going spinning.
Is it uncomfortably
faster.
High? Is it uncomfortably high rate of speed?
Well, I guess I don't believe it is, but
how fast are you descending this hill?
Well, if I just leave it in low and go down the hill, I will slow down to about like 12 miles an hour, because I did this in the middle of the night once when there was nobody around.
Yeah.
No soccer mom bearing down on me picking up their kid. Mm-hmm. And if I step on the gas in low going down the hill to get to about 23 miles an hour, because that's what the speed limit there is, 25 in this school zone.
Okay. And that's where I think the problem lies, because if this were a manual transmission and the low gear is first gear, and we're all in agreement that first gear is not supposed to go up to 20 miles an hour. It is usually you're shifting into second by about 10 to 15.
Uh-huh.
You're taking it up. So you're really pegging the RPMs on there. So in that sense, your husband's right.
Now, damn it, I hate when he's right.
But on your automatic, do you have a second gear? Or does it go one, drive, three, drive?
No, it just goes drive low. There's no second gear.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, right. I'm going to side with him.
Okay. I have a recommendation, but let us first hear from Laughing Buddha.
Well, you know, Faye, when you're on a manual scooter or motorcycle, you often downshift to reduce your speed and also to come up to a stop, correct?
Yes, that is what I do.
Yeah. So in this case, given that this particular vehicle is an automatic, I probably recommend against doing that practice, simply because of the fact, like you said, the RPMs on the engine is just a little bit too high, and you do risk a great deal of wear and tear on the engine. But you know, with a speed limit of 25 miles per hour, it depends on how fast that soccer mom is going. I would not accelerate using that particular gear selection. Mm. That's my input.
I also have, Faye, the little overdrive off button, and I can press that and stay in drive, but then it still goes too fast. So yeah. I just have to downshift anyway.
Well, but overdrive wouldn't really apply in this situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, here's my recommendation, because I support the concept of what you're doing, which is gearing down to reduce the wear and tear on your brakes,
right?
And using the transmission to slow your descent. So the concept is valid. The problem is you're just hitting a little bit high on the RPMs, and it's the speed of 23 miles per hour or 25 miles per hour is a little high for the first gear, as Eric Boo indicated. But here's what I'd recommend you try. I don't believe your husband is correct. You shouldn't be doing this shifting in and out, shift in and then downshift and upshift and downshift all the time. I don't approve of this, because that is going to put a lot of wear and tear on your transmission. So here is something to try.
Okay.
What I would try is put your car in drive, leave your transmission stick in D for drive, and disengage the overdrive button,
right,
as you indicated, which should put your car into third gear. But then what I would do is go down this hill in third gear, but break the car, use your brakes sparingly. So I would break the car and slow down to a speed well below 25 miles per hour, like 20 miles per hour or so, and then let the speed build up to 25 or 28 or maybe even 30. And when you get your car up to that speed, then hit the brake again and reduce your speed back down to 20 miles per hour, and then stay off the brake until the car comes up to that somewhat excessive speed again. And that's how I would descend the hill, is just you don't want to be putting your brake on all the way down the hill. That's the worst. It's worse doing that than it is to put the car into low gear. Okay. So brake, do significant braking to reduce the speed, and then let the speed build up. And when you get up to a speed that you think is unsafe or too fast, then brake again and do some significant braking to bring your speed down again to a much lower speed, and do that sort of you understand what I'm saying, right?
Right. Thank you.
And that will preserve your transmission, because you're not going to be overworking your transmission. You're not going to be over-speeding the engine by having it in a low gear, and you're not going to be putting excessive wear onto the brakes by riding the brake the whole way down the hill. That's something you definitely want to avoid.
Okay.
So that's my recommendation. Does anybody want to rebut my idea?
No, it's a fine idea. Basically, you're not using the engine. You're kind of letting gravitation build speed up if you're just... braking every so often. But yeah, you said this hill is how big?
Well, it says that it's 12%. There's a sign that says 12% grade, which is a rather steep hill, if you think about it, in this short period. It's like a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, a mile long and 12%. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it's a very steep hill.
Mm-hmm. But using phase method, you probably end up using the brake maybe 3-4 times.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So
thank you.
Thank you for that excellent question, Peter G. I hope your marriage is preserved by our excellent advice. So does anybody want to hear about what it's like to own a Porsche 911?
Oh, me, pick me.
All right.
I already know.
Yes, we do. And I also I was hoping you would explain how Faye Driver goes buying a used car, what he looks for in a used car, because you bought this car that's 10 years old, and what were you looking for specifically?
Well, the funny thing is that, you know, I never envisioned myself as being a Porsche owner. And I always had quite a bit of disdain in, some might say, hatred for Porsche owners, because I thought, oh, those guys are assholes. What's so great about a Porsche, you know?
A lot.
I come from this background where, you know, I grew up in a family of American car lovers, and Porsche owners were, you know, elitist
wankers,
yeah. And yeah, so, but I have to say, people, and I never had on my radar whatsoever the Porsche models. I had no interest in owning a Porsche. But when I lost the Deliverator, I didn't know what to get. I couldn't think of what I wanted. I knew that I wanted a driver's car. I knew I wanted a sporty machine. And I knew I wanted something that I would enjoy learning how to drive, and that would give me a visceral driving experience. So I was quite surprised to find myself having some interest in these Porsches. So here's my buying process. I was trying to buy a British sports car, what is quite a very rare machine known as a TVR Tuscan or a TVR 350. TVR is the manufacturer It's a very small British company, and they're quite rare. So I was looking around in Canada for a TBR, and I just couldn't find one. And they're ridiculously expensive. They're up in the $60,000 range, if you can even find one. And I was never able to find the TBR that I wanted. So I thought, well, I should give these Porsches a try. And so I did an internet search on a Porsche, and I saw that they ranged in the dollar value of between $25,000 to $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, right? So obviously, I have no intention of paying $90,000 for a sports car, but I did a search, and I kept seeing this one Porsche come up, this little blue Porsche come up, and over a period of about 3 weeks, I kept doing internet searches, and the cars changed somewhat, but there was always this one Porsche that kept popping up. So I thought, well, I better go test drive this car. So I went out to the far, far outskirts of the Vancouver Lower Mainland and dealt with this very handsome gentleman at a lease dealership. They take old leases and resell them. And I'm going to put a picture in the chat room here so everybody can see what we're talking about. And I took this car for a drive, and let me tell you what an amazing machine this is. I have to say that these Porsches are quite unique. They are really, they're almost a racing car in disguise. And Scotty the Little Aussie Battler, I don't know what your impression of the Porsche was. Maybe you can describe how you felt this car was as a passenger.
Do you want just in general or the time we were going at 90 kilometers an hour around this really sharp corner?
Well, let's talk about that.
Well, as we got in the car and we were driving, where were we going? I think we were going to meet Mark in Callander. And Faye said, we can go two ways. You can go the way where you might poo your pants, or we can go the other way. It really depends on you. I don't want to scare you. And I said, I'm fine to go the poo your pants way as long as there's no power poles on the side of the road. So we went that way, and we drove very fast around a couple of corners, and it was great. It was like going to Disneyland without the fake cricket noises.
Yeah. And,
it handled very nicely. Other than that, we're not going super fast around corners of death. It was a very comfortable ride. I was impressed by the fact that a car that's like 10 years old has sort of quite modern technology, and I guess that's probably what you paid for when you pay a whole lot of money for those European sports cars. But very quiet, very nice, lots of power.
Yeah, I have to say, I was impressed by many things about this car. One was just the way that it handles. It is surgical in the way that it handles the corners and the way the feel that you get from the car. It's got an extremely powerful engine. I don't believe I've ever experienced the kind of power that this car can put out. And it is 12 years old, and it's a little bit rattly and clunky, and it's got a few little glitches with it, but it's just an amazing experience from a driver's perspective, the way the car drives, and I've just been having so much fun learning how to drive the car and how to drive this engine. And it's a little brute. It's got a lot of power. It's a little bit grumpy. If you don't drive it well, it doesn't treat you well. But if you build a good relationship with it, and if you learn how to drive it properly, it's just an amazing machine. It's difficult for me to explain, but I'm completely surprised and flabbergasted by how much I'm enjoying this car.
But again, it goes to prove that just why, time and time again, critics worldwide have said Porsche is the manufacturer to watch, and that it has ranked in the top 10 of most of the critics and drivers as some of the best sports cars in the world. It's just an incredible car all the way around.
Absolutely. It's a completely different vehicle to drive because up until this time, I've driven front-engine cars with rear-wheel drive and various other formats, but this is a rear-engine car. It's got all the weight over the back wheels. It has virtually no weight on the front wheels, and it's a completely different driving dynamic. It's been a really interesting learning experience, and I know I'm going to enjoy this car for a good couple of years because it's going to give me a lot of experience in learning how to make the machine work. So I'm just enjoying it immensely.
You know you got it right when the first time you made it bark, you giggle like a schoolgirl.
I did.
The first time you went, you're like,
yes, I do. I do tend to lose control of myself in this car, at least right now, and I probably will for the next couple of months because it's an amazing experience, and I highly recommend it. And if anybody ever wants to go for a ride, just ask. I will be happy to take you for a ride in the little sports car. And we have to give it a name. I just don't know what to name it.
I think you should have a contest.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have something in the prize closet that we can maybe come up with in order to name the new Porsche 911?
I suppose I'm
like
sure
the Australian
we could
name that you'd come up with, Faye.
And what was that?
The Australian name that you'd come up with. I thought that was good.
Please refresh my memory.
Oh, cool. Well, how many options have you got? I thought you only had one option. De Rossi.
Oh, De Rossi. Oh, is she Australian? Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I told you that.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, that takes that name out.
Oh! I think Scotty is disqualified.
So, Faye, what kind of due diligence and what kind of review do you look at when you look at a car like that? Do you take it somewhere or do you just trust your own instincts?
Well, here's my buying process. I drove this car once and I thought, oh, I don't know, it's a bit goofy. It's an odd machine. I don't know about this thing. And this is the norm for me when I decide that I'm going to buy something. I experience buyer's remorse before I buy the machine. So, I took it for a drive and I thought, oh, I don't know, it's goofy. I don't think I'm going to buy it. And then I tried looking for other Porsches to buy. And I couldn't find any cars that were within the same price range that seemed to be of similar quality in quite as good shape. Because it's in remarkably good shape for being 12 years old. So, and then I also consider the value of my time. So I thought, okay, I have two or three other cars that I could hunt down and drive to experience to see what they're like. But then that's going to take me a month or 2 to 3 weeks to do that. And I'm not prepared to invest that kind of time and energy. So I mulled it over for a couple of days. And then I experienced my buyer's remorse. Okay. And I thought, oh, I'm going to buy this car. It's going to be horrible. And I'm going to have to pay all this money and, you know, and I get a little depressed and then I go and then I change my mind and I say, oh yeah, this is the best car ever. I got to have it. after I go through the buyer's remorse process, I realize that, you know, if I account for all of the time and energy and, you know, equate that in some way to a monetary value, I've decided that this is the car that I want. So I decided, okay, we're going to do it. So I went back to the car. I went back to the dealer and I took the car for a second drive. And it was on the second drive that I was convinced, because the salesman wasn't there. However, Mr. Anderson was there, and I had to scare the bejesus out of him on our second test drive. And I said to him, "Are you sure you want to come on this test drive?" And he said, "No, I'm not, but I'm going to do it." So we went for a really good test drive, and it was then that I decided, even if this car is a piece of crap, even if I own it for 6 months or a year, I'm going to get a lot of enjoyment out of this car, and I went for it. And let me tell you, people, it was the best decision I've made. It was because I'm extremely happy about it. Does that answer your question,
Peter? I would be too, Fanny.
Yes, that's great. It's the best decision you made, other than Mr. Anderson, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay.
That goes without saying.
Right.
So from the perspective of enjoying the car, I'm absolutely loving it. And you will hear in subsequent Pink Wheel Nuts podcasts how much I'm enjoying the car. You may have already heard it in the episode that I put out when I went for a first drive. We've got a couple more drives going on in it. The Scotty, the little Aussie Battler, has been in the car, and he can vouch for what a great car it is. And hopefully you'll be able to hear on future Pink Wheel Nuts podcasts, you'll hear me enjoying this vehicle and hopefully sharing it with you so that you can enjoy it too. All right. So are there any other questions about the Porsche 911? Because I can go on for hours and hours about this car.
No.
Well, hearing none, I guess we should bring the show to a close. Shall we go around the room, and we'll actually, Laughing Buddha, maybe you can just read us out to the final people who've been sticking with us here in the chat room on pride48.com.
Sure. We want to issue a very special thanks for joining us tonight. Tracy in Washington, Kathy Bacon, That Peter G, Aunt Brenda Boo, the Cronehaven has joined us this evening, the ever elusive and mysterious one. Calvin from Hello Waffles, Moose P, RT Cruza, and Shakita Washington, along with the Turnip Head and Betrothed Mark from Canada. And of course, one of our favorite people, Gavin. Thanks for joining us tonight. And Faye, you can bring us down with the rest of our guests and how we can find them on the intertubes.
Absolutely. Scotty, the little Aussie Battler. How are we going to find you if we go hunting?
You can find me littleaussiebattler.net or littleaussiebattler@gmail.com in the Spacebook.
All right. And Eric, how can we find you?
Well, radio station KMRYradio.com. You can also go to Facebook and just put Eric Walker in there, and you'll find me, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. That's me.
All right, That Peter G.
Well, I'm on lots of Life on the Shit List. Look for it in iTunes or lifeontheshitlist@gmail.com. Thank you.
And we were joined earlier by Kathy Bacon. I'm sure you can find her by following Twitter at, I don't know what her Twitter name is, but Kathy Bacon, you're out there somewhere. And I am the Faye Driver. Thank you for joining us on the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, the Garage Show. I don't believe we'll have another Garage Show for another 2 or 3 weeks, but do look for another live show. And I'm going to be putting out quite a few episodes over the next week or so. Both the Garage Shows and Pink Wheel Nuts podcasts in the new car. You can find us at pinkwheelnuts.com. And the man who always has the last word on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, it is the Laughing Buddha.
That's right. I am the co-host emeritus of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. And you can find me online at thescooterdiaries.net. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaughingBuddha. Thanks for joining us, and good night.
Hellnuts Garage.